Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 1st, 2015, and with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. It's been a few days, so it's nice to have you back. And Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Yet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, right, wrong show. Wrong topic.
Yeah. That's okay. You know, just I assumed you were speaking in tongues. As one does.
As one does, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Casper, the mattress company, which is really awesome. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, we have a big announcement that came out from Tesla today. And this is that they want to put their batteries in our homes to help us be more energy efficient, more environmentally friendly, and to promote using renewable energy sources. And on one hand, this is really cool. But on the other hand, it sounds kind of familiar. And Dave, I think you have some insight into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing is that we don't know much, right? We know some specifics about the product, and that is that there's two versions, a 10 kilowatt hour version for $3,500 and a 7 for $3,000. Mm-hmm. And they are built to, there's a couple things we know. They can be recharged either by a solar panel if you choose, or they can take their energy from the grid and charge themselves up. That's one thing we know. But you could also most likely charge these things from a generator because it's just power after all.
Right.
Though they don't talk about that. And they're built to be used either for balancing your energy load in your home so that you are storing energy when it is likely to be cheaper. In many areas of the country, power is actually more expensive when you use it in the evenings and mornings and less expensive in the middle of the day. So with this, theoretically, you could charge this thing up during the middle of the day. And it's built to do this. So there's probably, again, a great Tesla user experience because they are, in my mind, first and foremost, a software company, right? I mean, that's what Tesla does. So, you can offset and potentially do some cost savings. And then the larger one is also built to power your home in the event of a semi-extended power outage. And that's a great thing. And, of course, that caught my eye being here in New Hampshire where we've done two ridiculous things in terms of power. Number one, we have all of our power lines above ground. And number two, 100 years ago, we reforested the state with pine trees. So
what could possibly go wrong?
You got it. That's right. Good soft wood, lots of wind, and power lines in the way. This is a great little thing. And we do. We have extended power outages and we have a generator. But it'd be very nice to have something like this in the house. In fact, it would be so nice to have something like this in the house that I've investigated it before. This is not a new product in any way except potentially, as I said, the software. This thing exists. There are many companies out there that sell things that do exactly this. A lot of them are actually solar companies, but these battery units are not limited to just customers that want to power or charge them with solar power, although obviously that's a great way to do it because you're not paying for any of the electricity once you absorb the cost of the solar cells, which are not cheap. Yep. But these things exist. I found one from a company called Wholesale Solar. Their price on the 9.6 kilowatt hour unit, so basically the 10 kilowatt hour unit, is $6,800. So nearly double the price of what Tesla is advertising. But that, I don't know if that includes installation or anything like that. I haven't compared and contrasted, but it seems like it's possible this Tesla thing is a little bit cheaper. But we don't know. They have partnered with one power company over in Vermont that I heard about this morning that is presumably going to offer these to customers as part of their offering, which makes great sense. I'm kind of hoping that Eversource, the larger power company here in New Hampshire, does the same thing. That would be a nice thing. And for $3,500, but again, there's a lot of news about this. It's not really a new product. But we may feel differently about that when we see the software.
Yeah, I got it. So here's my problem with your skepticism.
It's rooted in facts, and I'm just being reasonable about it.
No, it's actually rooted in your own projections and your own preconceptions, and that we don't know exactly what they're doing about a lot of this stuff. And the notion that Tesla is going to bother to release a me-too product that's not bringing anything to the table, it flies in the face of everything else that Tesla's done.
Well, Tesla released a me-too product. Their first product was a me-too product, right? It's an electric car. Okay. They're certainly not the first.
But they brought a lot to the table.
I agree. And that's why I'm saying I see them more as a software company than anything else. I mean, they're like Apple in that regard.
Yeah. So, but there's going to be until proven otherwise. And I would believe that even in your projected version of reality here, there's still a lot that we don't know.
Absolutely.
Right. Until
Tons.
Proven
right.
otherwise, it seems safer to assume that there is something interesting about this product.
I don't think we have to project too far to figure out what that is. I mean, this is very likely to be very internet connected. The smarts of it in terms of when it charges its batteries and when it doesn't. That kind of thing is also probably going to be very, very intelligently managed. You're going to have an iPhone app to mess with this thing, right? I mean, all of that stuff that you're not getting with this wholesale solar thing, most likely, that I found, right? But in terms of functionality, Kelly in our staff meeting today said it well. She said, we saw when the iPod was released in a market where everybody said, well, there's already MP3 players. Why is Apple doing this, right? I mean, Apple, in fact, has made their entire career. They have yet to release anything other than the Apple One. But even then, actually, it was not the first personal computer. It was the first one done, quote unquote, the right way, but it was not the first one. So Apple has never released a product that is new. And nor has Tesla, but we like them. So, yeah, I'm watching this quite curiously. So, there you go.
As am I.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like the Apple Watch, right? It's a smartwatch. Certainly not the first. Is it the best? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yep. And excuse me. Sorry about that, people. Yeah. Okay. So, have I mentioned we have a sponsor today?
No, I don't think you did. Did he?
He did.
Okay, all right. I did. And that sponsor happens to be Casper Mattresses. And I'm really glad that Casper is our sponsor because I like talking about products that I get to use, and this happens to be one of them. The Casper mattress that I have, I have the queen size bed, has been a very instrumental part of my efforts to improve my sleep patterns. It's no secret that I have really bad insomnia, and my Casper mattress has really made a difference. And I know people that they don't care what kind of bed they sleep on, but when sleep is a premium luxury and not just part of your routine, it does matter. And this is the best mattress I found for that. So what they've done is they've taken different types of foam and figured out what's the right kind of foams to use, and then sandwich all this together to make a memory foam mattress that doesn't like suck you in and leave you stuck in one position and make you sweat and feel and too hot and crappy and not be able to sleep. They figured out how to do it right, so you have the right support, you have the right amount of pliability. And it just works. It's as if they came to me and said, what exactly do you need in a mattress? And then made that, which is totally awesome.
They do. They make one kind of mattress, and it's the right kind. And I was away for a couple of days, as you mentioned, Jeff. And I was so happy when I laid on the Casper mattress we have here at the house last night. It was like, oh, yeah, I missed this.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And I love the prices that they have for the mattresses too. Instead of charging well over $1,000 for what I have, which is the queen size mattress, $850. And that's because they can just ship it to you. They don't have to deal with showrooms and salespeople and all that extra overhead. So they can keep the prices lower. They ship it to you, And even better, you can get $50 off because you listen to our show. So what you need to do is go to casper.com/TDO and then use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off your mattress. You're going to get free shipping as well. Have this thing delivered right to your door. It takes about 5 minutes to set up, and then you can start sleeping better, just like me, which is absolutely awesome.
So don't forget their 100-day return policy, Jeff. That's a big one to me, right? Because you know, you're buying a mattress sight unseen.
You know, that's a good point. And it's easy for me to forget because I can't imagine anyone wanting to return one of these. But yeah, you have the 100-day return policy as well. And they'll cover the cost of shipping to take it back. So you won't be out of pocket anything. So go to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and buy yourself a new bed, because you totally deserve it. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor all week long. I really do appreciate that.
Indeed.
All right. So, Dave, you gave us a little bit of foreshadowing, intentionally or otherwise, because you mentioned the Apple Watch.
I did.
And you are one of the lucky few who had an Apple Watch actually show up on the 24th.
A week ago today. I've been wearing it for a week, and I've mentioned this before. I'm a watch guy. I have lots of different watches, but for the last week, the only watch that I have worn is the Apple Watch.
And yeah, and you're a watch guy, so I'm really curious, what's your take on the Apple Watch after wearing it for a week?
So it tells the time just fine, right? So in terms of a watch replacement for the other watches that I wear, functionally, it serves that purpose, no problem, for the most part.
Stop right there, because talk to us about the glance aspect. You know, like if you just want to glance at the time, how convenient is that? And you know, there were stories about how you needed to sort of like shake your arm a little bit if you weren't.
So I've had two issues with it. Number one was on the second day that I had it, the second full day that I had it, the battery died way faster than it has on any other day. And I cannot attribute that to anything. In fact, perhaps I can. I had it in airplane mode for a couple of hours while I was doing performing a show. I was doing a theater show where I was playing the drums, and obviously didn't want the watch making any noise or doing anything. And because it was relatively new, I figured putting it in airplane mode and silencing it was probably the right move. I don't think being in airplane mode killed the battery. It doesn't make sense that it would, but I was doing different things with it that day. But other than that, the battery's been totally fine. In fact, it's usually at, you know, 30 to 50% when I put it on charge at night. So that part hasn't been too much of a problem. Yeah. And I have used it during the day. I'll talk a little bit about that. But in terms of glancing at it, Brian, the only time that I've had a problem where it hasn't lit up when I just, you know, want to look at it has been if I am laying down like on the couch or on the floor or something, and I hold it up over my head, it's now aiming upside down and it doesn't light up. You know, I'm sure if I hold my wrist up to the ceiling, it would, but I'm not looking at it. You know, if I'm looking up at it, I've noticed that a few times, but it's really not that big of a deal. You just tap it and it wakes up and shows you the time. So it's all right there. It's not like it's impossible. It doesn't show the time when you're upside down.
So it sounds like not only is it using the motion to decide when to light up the face, but the position of the watch as well.
Definitely. Yeah, because I shook it as much as I possibly could and it wouldn't wake up. But if I tapped it again, it just woke up fine. So
that actually seems like something Apple should fix.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the problem is you have to certainly they don't know where the rest of your body is the problem.
Yeah, but there's going to be identifying movement data.
Sure.
From the way you just described moving your arm.
Yeah.
It is going to be different from any other time that the watch is going to be upside down.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably fixable. The beyond the telling the time functionality, I got the sport model for various reasons. I actually really like it. I find it's a very lightweight watch, which is not similar to most of my other watches. Most of my other watches are a little bit heavier than this one, but it sits well on my wrist. I don't have a problem with it, you know, spinning around. It really locks in nicely. I like the feel of the band, and it's nice to have something very lightweight. I even last night kept it on while playing my drums. I wanted to see if it would track my heart rate and all that while I was playing, which of course it did. And it didn't bother me in the least, and I never wear a watch when I play. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So the lightweight part is great. It survived the I'm an idiot scratch test on the very first night on the third night. I said I did this theater thing. We played Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so I had it with me each of those nights because, of course, I was going to wear it for a week. I put it away, and I put the watch in a case that I have that my bass drum pedal is normally stored in. Well, at the end of the third night, I had to race out of there and pack up my stuff because it was the last show. And so I crammed my bass drum pedal into its case after taking out my car key and my wallet. And then 20 minutes later, I realized, oh, crap, my watch is in there, you know. Mm. And no scratches, no nicks on the side, no noticeable nothing.
Well, it just we ran a video posted by Unbox Therapy.
Okay.
About a week ahead of time where they got a hold of samples of the Ionix glass.
Yeah.
And it handled all the metal thrown at it. So they weren't testing an Apple Watch. They were literally testing Apple Watch size samples of this glass material.
Got it.
It handled all the metal that was thrown at it. What it couldn't take was sandpaper.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that makes sense. Sure.
So I'm not surprised that it handled your drum pedal abuse.
Yeah, right. So the odd part that I've found about it is there's a couple of things. Number one, I've never worn a fitness tracker before. I find it interesting. I'm not against it. I'm a fairly fit person, and I don't really obsess over this kind of thing. I'm looking forward to it as I ride my bike this summer because I do tend to track my bike rides just for lack of you know, because I can. So I'm looking forward to that. But I did a hike on, you know, we did a couple of hikes actually while we were away this week up in Vermont. And so I figured, well, I'll track it as an outdoor walk. It's an excuse to have this thing track something. And it did. And the whole time I'm walking, I could look at the watch and it would show me how far I'd gone and how many steps and how many calories and my average heart rate, right? All this cool stuff. And I got to the end of the walk and I force tapped it and said, end. I had the option to pause it, which would have been cool because there was one point where I probably should have done that, but I didn't anyway. And I do it, and it shows me this great summary right there on the watch of all the data that I just had from my walk. And I'm like, killer, great. And then it gave me some award. You've done your first outdoor walk. Awesome. If I want to get that summary again, I have absolutely no way of doing so. Not on the watch, not on my phone. I can get most of it on my phone, except it will not show me my average heart rate. If I go into the health app, and I have to dig to find these, but if I dig into health data and I go to, I think it's in fitness workouts, it will show me, the two workouts that I did, you know, which were these two walks, and, I can look at them and I see the duration, the calories burned, the distance, the date, the source, which is Dave's Apple Watch, and the date that it was added to health, but it will not show me my average heart rate for that period. I have to then look at the time that I did this, go back to the heart rate section, and correlate the two manually to begin to find out my heart rate. But even finding the average of that period is pretty much impossible. And wow. It's definitely not able – I'm unable to find it on the watch at all, which I find really bizarre because it showed it to me on the watch.
All right. The data exists.
Totally exists.
You know, so you should be able to
you should
get
be
it
able
again.
To see it. This is so frustrating for me.
So there's two things about this. Part of it I really like. It's a fun little gadget, and part of it is immensely frustrating. And that's part of the frustration. The other part of the frustration is third-party apps. Specifically the way third-party apps have done glances. Now, for those of you that don't have an Apple Watch, you're able to swipe up from the bottom of the watch face and get to quick views of things. For example, I can see I have a quick view that's built into the watch that lets you set do not disturb, airplane, or silent mode. And if you set airplane mode, it'll set airplane mode on your phone if you want it to do that, which is also kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I've got a quick glance for a heart rate that works totally fine. It works great. I've got a quick glance for my activity for the day. Again, these are all Apple quick glances. I've got one for the battery. Then I have one for my weather app that I'm using, a third-party weather app. And when it starts, it flashes what was originally there from the last time I looked at this glance. And then the screen goes blank for a while as it's trying to connect to my phone and tell my phone to go get the weather data. And then the weather data comes in. And then there's like this 4 to 12 second lag where I see basically nothing on the screen. I mean, yeah, I can tell the screen is off. It's useless, right?
That's totally useless.
Yep. But the same is true for every single third party glance that I have. The calendar that's built into the phone. No, or built into the thing, no problem. The music thing that controls it, you know, I have this deliveries app that shows me when my things are, you know, when my packages are due. It does the same thing. It shows it to me, and then it resets itself throughout the, you know, while it's refreshing the data. And what's stupid is all my glances are not refreshed simultaneously, right? If it's going to wake up and tell the phone I need data, it should be doing these updates. It should coalesce them, right? The iPhone does this in order to save its battery. Why is the phone, why is the watch not doing this? Why is this not happening in a smarter way? And I think part of the reason is simply that it's brand new. These developers haven't had an opportunity to use it. Users haven't had an opportunity to really use it. Apple hasn't seen how it really is going to be used in the wild. There's some of these things that just need to happen as part of this iterative process that Apple always goes through.
Yeah, it's important to remember that the vast majority of developers did not have access to an Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they were coding beforehand. Blind, in essence.
I don't blame Apple for this necessarily. I mean, it's kind of surprising because we're so used to this stuff being so smooth from Apple, but it is a first-gen product. I don't mean to apologize for them. It shouldn't – I understand what it's doing, right? And so I'm frustrated by these lags, I get it, right? As a guy who's done some programming and all of that stuff, I totally understand what's going on and why there's this lag, but that's not – what we've come to expect from Apple's user experience.
Yeah, and there are things Apple could have done in that this device was announced and shown and people handled it.
Yeah.
Apple could have let 1,000 of them, 2,000 of them, 10,000 of them out to their top developers.
Yeah, but for 2 months would be written, and you know, they wanted to control the news cycle on it.
Yeah, but they're going to lose control of this news cycle because people are complaining about glances.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you sync up your phone, when you sync up your phone with the watch, which you have to, that's actually a pretty cool process. It does it with the camera. It shows this really weird pattern on the front of the watch, and you put your phone's camera over it inside the Apple Watch, you know, app environment, whatever. And it just sees this and says, yep, okay, now we're in sync. It's all good. So that part's cool. Once you do that, you have the option of moving any apps, and which then, of course, means glances, over to the watch. And the default is to move everything and also to enable all notifications that show up on your phone on the watch. And I've found that to be absolutely horrendous. I've gone through, I'm still not finished with this process, but every time I get notifications from something, I want to, many things, I don't need to see notifications for everything on my watch, right? There are certain things I want them for, and I really like it, but I don't need to see them for everything. And it's frustrating that from the watch, I cannot turn off the notifications for a given app. So if I see a notification for some app and I say, oh, yep, you know, this one, I don't care about it here, I have to go back to my phone to turn that notification off on the watch. I can dismiss that particular one, but in order to say I don't want any more from this app ever, I have to configure that from the phone.
There is a huge
reliance on the phone as the control surface for the watch, which is weird. It wouldn't be that tough. You know, if I force tap on a notification, I can clear all notifications, which is handy. And that's a good tip if you haven't figured that out yet, folks. Force tap on a notification, you can clear everything. But I would like a second option there that says disable notifications for this app. Let's see. It would be simple.
I have a feeling Jeff's going to start yelling at us. So let me give you the summation question. You've been wearing it exclusively for a week.
Yep.
Will you continue to do so?
Yeah, I'm going to give it more time. I feel like I have not fully explored everything it has to offer me yet. And part of that is I still need to spend some time and like throw away apps or turn off apps that are on here. That you can actually do from the watch. You can put things into the jiggly mode like you have on an iPhone and start hitting the X and you know, remove apps from the main screen of the watch. So I need to rearrange some of that. It's just kind of a mess. In retrospect, I wish that I had it install nothing on the watch and then gone through and kind of turned on things. But I guess part of the problem is in doing it that way, I don't know what I want on the watch without seeing how it works on the watch and then deciding, though, this is awesome functionality I'd love to have on my wrist, or that's really a bad idea. I don't want that. You know, that was just some developer's attempt at maybe what might work, and it doesn't. You know.
Well, based on your experience, I'm going to install just the apps that I want to try at first. And then experiment with adding others in instead of getting overwhelmed with having every app giving me a notification.
Yeah. That's the part. I mean, I've gone through. I've gotten it mostly there, but even today, still, it was like, oh yeah. But it, you know, the problem is, I'm not always in a situation where I can just disable that app's notifications. You know, because I forget. It's like, oh yeah, that one keeps coming back. I got to remember to turn that one off. So
yeah.
But you know, all those initial reviews where we heard people saying it took several days for them to come around on it, I totally get what they mean by that. It's the UI is different and might take a little while to get used to, but that's not going to take you that long. It really is just configuring it and tweaking it for your life. That's the trick. And I'm not convinced that once I get it there, it's going to be the device for me.
But you're not close to that either.
No, I'm not. I'm not. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm curious to see how it plays out for you. Mine showing up today. And I'm curious to see if this is actually a watch that stays on my wrist for more than a week.
Yeah.
So I'll let everyone know. Thank you, both of you, for joining me today. Dave, it's great to have you on with your insights.
Pleasure.
And Brian, it's always great to get your perspective on everything as well. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Go to their website. Buy yourself a new mattress because you deserve it. The website's casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off your mattress, and you're getting free shipping too. Just go and do it. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see everyone again next week.